Dit is Hour of Power, een programma wat altijd verrassend is. En de man die zometeen in de Crystal Cathedral gaat spreken is een opmerkelijk iemand. Misschien heeft u of jij hem al eerder gezien. Het is Nick Vujicic. Hij is geboren zonder armen en benen en heeft een geweldig verhaal. En straalt dat ook uit zijn hoop en geloof en zijn liefde voor mensen. En nou een tip, als je hem al eerder gezien hebt, bel even vrienden en kennissen te kijken. Dit mag je niet missen. Zometeen dus in de Crystal Cathedral. Bij Hour of Power Nederland, Maurice Tompot. Hij is de koster van een van de mooiste kerken van Nederland, de Sint-Jan. De kerk die beroemd is onze brandschilderde ramen. Hij heeft een boek geschreven, Het Geheim van Erasmus. En dat geheim komt hij hier in Hour of Power onthullen. En verder veel muziek in deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede dienst toe.
Our Heavenly Father is alive. You can feel a spirit in this great place. It's a collection of vibrations, of personalities, old and young, far and near. And God is in you. Even if you're an atheist, God loves you. You can't knock that off. So he's here. And Lord, at the end of this service, we will go out stronger, more sure than ever before, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Can you handle that? A man was going down, Jesus says, from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him naked and half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, holier than thou, when he came to the place and saw this beaten naked man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came and saw the man. And when he saw him, he moved toward him and took pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on him oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn. Care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Look after him. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of the 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." End of quote. These are the words of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Cathedral Choir.
My guest today is Clifford Harris, the founder and president of the nonprofit Drug Alternative Program in Grand Terrace, California. Clifford was born into a loving home. No one suspected that he would one day be entrenched in marijuana. But between 1966 and 1984, he was arrested more than 40 times, all on drug-related charges. He lost his family, his home, his friends, because of the consumption of drugs. Today he's here to share how God captivated his heart. But let me read from his book, Evelyn Knew I Was Out of the Penitentiary, and She Forbade the Children to Make Contact with Me. She was bitterly angry with me. I couldn't blame her. My relationship with Steve and Jeffrey and Rhonda ended when I went back to prison, so I hadn't seen or even talked to them in a few years. Jeff was the only one still going to church, and he was a member of the same church I returned to. I'm sure he heard through the grapevine I'd been released from prison. Give him a warm welcome. Death Dance is the book. Born and raised in a Christian family, how in the world did you get started?
Well, I wanted to be one of the fellas. I wanted to do what they were doing. And I can remember when these gentlemen introduced marijuana to me, I got angry. I was upset with them. Why are they smoking this dope? But I wanted to be part of. So I sucked on the weed. But pretty soon, marijuana wasn't good enough. And I went to heroin. And when you start doing heroin, you start stealing. And then you're going to jail. And, you know, all of these things in your life is going in a downward spiral. I remember one night, one Saturday night, Ronnie and I.
Ronnie?
This is one of my drug buddies that we got high together. And we were looking for someone to rob, to get some money so we could get high. And we went downtown and we found this couple in this parking lot. And they must have been going to a banquet or something because she had on a nightgown or, you know, evening gown, and he was dressed in his tux. And I knew Ronnie was going to shoot this man. And I went and stood in between Ronnie and the man. And I had my brick hammer and I'm cussing and yelling at this man to get up under that car. If Ronnie had a shot that man, he shot me. He shot me. They would have caught us and I would be into jail to the day.
Where was the shot?
Right here. I want to tell you how good God is. I used to watch this show on television. Never in my faintest mind that I would be up here with you. That's God. We can't give it no one else the credit but God. From where I have been and what I have done to my family, to my neighbors. Oh man, this is joy. Yes, this is joy. You know, I've got two marks on this arm, and I've got two marks on this arm.
From what?
From the needle. You know, when you use a syringe, you know, drug addicts have tracks up and down their arm, because every time you stick that needle in your arm, it leaves a mark. Well, I didn't want to leave those marks, and I would go to the same spot all the time, and by going to the same spot, it made a big bump. So hard sometimes, it would bend the needle, and I'd have to go over here to this one that I hadn't used in a day or two. Sometime you take a syringe, you would go into the drug house? Me. A syringe would be on the table. Blood would be in it. I'd pick it up, squirt the blood out, put some water in it, squirt that out, and shoot it. I never caught nothing. I really looked at my life. Here it was, 20 years of drug abuse, and I'm back in the Colorado State Penitentiary for the second time. And I really looked at my life, and I said, look at you, Harris. You ain't got nothing. You ain't nothing. Your family has deserted you. You have no friends. And I thought about this when I was in the penitentiary. I put it like this. People that go to church don't go to jail. And you know, basically it's true. People that go to church don't go to jail. And I was tired of jail. I was tired of the drugs. I was tired of the courts. I was tired of the police. And all I said to myself, when I get out of here, I'm gonna go to church. And after 20 years of that, I even thought about my mother, who was dying of cancer. And I felt that I needed to go see my mother before she died. I drove all the way from Colorado to Florida on a stolen credit card and went to jail there. I had to call my daddy to come get me out. He came and got me. And when I went back to the house, I sat on my mother's bed. And my mother looked at me. A good mama. A Christian mama. A praying mama. And she said to me, Clifford, I wished you had never come to see me, because I knew you were still on that stuff. And thinking of all of that, putting all that together, I said, one thing I was going to do, I'm going to go to church. Just go to church and sit down on the pew. Just sit down. Go back to God. And that's what I did. And that's where I am today. And you know, you look at my life. Look at me. I look pretty good, don't I? Don't I? But you know what? I didn't always look like this, but only God can do that. And I just want to help somebody not go through what I did.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Listen, I want to pray for you. May I touch you?
Of course, of course.
You sent your invisible fingers of power through the skin of the bone,
yes,
touching some core in that brain. And you changed him.
Yes.
You healed him.
Yes, Jesus.
Now you're using him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise him. Thank you, Pastor.
kan het Crystal Cathedral Choir dat prachtig zingen. Love Divine, a Love Excelling. En als je dat in de Crystal Cathedral hoort, is het al prachtig. Maar zou je dat in de Sint-Jan in Gouden horen, dan klinkt het natuurlijk nog majestueuzer. De Sint-Jan, een van de mooiste kerken van Nederland, met in ieder geval de beroemdste gebrandschilderde ramen van Nederland. De man die daar alles van weet, die een bewogen levensverhaal heeft, die koster van de kerk is al 25 jaar, maar op zijn zoektocht naar waarheid bij het boeddhisme is aanbeland, bij het jodendom, hash rookte in de straten van Kabul, is een hele wonderlijke koster. Misschien wel de wonderlijkste koster van Nederland. En hier zit hij. Goedemorgen, Maurice.
Goedemorgen.
Tom Pot. Bewonderlijke naam voor een koster.
Ja. Ik heb het uitgezocht. Het komt van de familie Domput. De familie die woonde bij de put, bij de Domkerk. Weet je wat dom betekent? Zo dom nog niet. Het komt van Deo Optimo Maximo. Dus de kerk gewijd aan de meest verheven God. Nou, als je zo'n naam dan nu mag hebben.
Ja, dan moet je wel koster worden.
Dan
natuurlijk.
Moet je haast koster worden, ja.
Je bent nu koster, maar je hebt een merkwaardig verleden. Ik maak even een sprongetje. Je vader overleed. Je ging op zoek naar de zin van je leven. Je ging een wereldreis maken om te onderzoeken wat is nou waarheid. Ligt dat in het boeddhisme, het jodendom, het christendom,
islam.
Islam. Ik kwam terecht in Afghanistan. Hippie trail. Begon daar drugs te gebruiken die daar niks kosten. Wat gebeurde daar?
Nou, in India liep ik helemaal vast. Daar werd ik zowel ziek als het geld raakte op. En toen ben ik eigenlijk voor het eerst gaan bidden. Serieus gaan bidden. Dat ga je pas doen als je flink in de ellende zit. Eerder hebben we God niet nodig. In mijn geval dan. En toen kwam er een Duitse hippie naar me toe. Dat was in Rijsikesh. Dat was bloedje heet daar. Dat was gewoon verstikkend. Hij zegt, joh, wat jij nodig hebt is hulp. Ik zei, ja, dat weet ik ook wel. Hij zegt, ik ken een paar van die Salvation Army people. Christenen. Hij zegt, die wonen hier 100 kilometer vandaan of zo. Daar ben ik geweest. Hij zegt, als je daar naartoe gaat. Ik zeg, dat is de plek. Want het leger des heils heeft gewoon een goodwill opgebouwd in de wereld. En als je in India bent, er zijn weinig mensen die echt voor je zorgen. Want het denken is van, nou ja, als je doodgaat, jammer dan. Je wordt toch weer herboren. Maar goed, ik had hulp nodig. Dus ik ben daar naartoe gegaan en het ging fantastisch. Normaal duurt dat weken. En ik ging achter elkaar door. Het ging ook omhoog. Het ligt op 7000 voet in de Himalayas, Mussoorie. Het werd dus cool, het werd groen, het werd mooi. En toen kwam ik eraan in een bijbelshop, bleek het te zijn. En die mevrouw die stond zo met open armen. En er ging zoveel liefde en warmte vanuit dat ik werd er gewoon bang van. Kun je je voorstellen? Ik vond het zo... Ik dacht, wat is dit? Nou, fijn. Daar heb ik de beslissing gemaakt. Dat was... geloven in woord en daad. 7 weken hebben die mensen mij in huis genomen. Nou, wie doet dat? Weet je? Echt de barmhartige Samaritaan.
Je bent al 25 jaar koster. Wat mij fascineert, wat boeit jou aan dat kosteren?
Het is een kosterlijk werk dat ik mag doen. En het meest boeiend vind ik de boodschap die goudse glazen vertellen. Dat is puur Bijbel. Nou, wat wil je nog meer? Heel evangelisch zelfs. En dan hebben we het dus over een voormalig Rooms-Katholieke kerk. Maar je kent Erasmus. Die heeft hele sterke invloed gehad op deze goudse glazen. Ik mocht bij toeval een boekje ontdekken van Erasmus. Een boekje genaamd Convivium Religiosum, oftewel een goddelijk festijn. Waarin hij aan zijn vrienden, die hij te eten uitnodigt, laat hij al de wandschilderingen in zijn huis zien. En waar gaan die over? Over het leven van Christus tot en met Pinksteren. En na Pinksteren gaat het evangelie de wereld in spiegelende pendanten. Oud Testament, Nieuw Testament. Dus typologisch. Nou, welk verhaal vind je in de Sint-Jan? Dit verhaal.
Even terugkomen op Erasmus. Voor de jonge kijkers, wie was Erasmus? Ik denk dat de meeste mensen denken een Rotterdamse geleerde.
Precies, het woord in die tijd was geleerde heette een humanist. Als ik nu als koster van de hervormde kerk in Gouden met Erasmus bezig ben, dan denken ze... Gaat het wel goed? Want hij was toch een humanist. Maar dan maken ze één klein denkfoutje. Een humanist toen was een ander woord voor wetenschapper, geleerde. Dus hij was inderdaad een geleerde. Waarin was hij geleerd? Hij was theoloog. Hij was priester, tot priester gewijd. Later heeft hij aan de Sorbonne theologie gedaan. Maar hij is ook tot geloof gekomen. En toen heeft hij op een gegeven moment de beslissing gemaakt. Ik ga nu helemaal voor... Vroeger ging hij voor de schone letteren. Hij zei, nu ga ik echt voor het schoonste woord, de Bijbel zelf.
Ja, dat weten weinig mensen, hè?
Ja.
Je hebt een boek geschreven, ik heb het gelezen. En dat heet Het Geheim van Erasmus. Vertel eens over zijn geheimen. Wat is zijn eerste geheim?
Nou, het eerste geheim dat hij dus echt uit Gouda komt. Ja. Dat hij sowieso verwekt is. En hij heeft er alles aan om te verdoezelen dat hij uit Gouda kwam. Want hij was een defectus natalis, een tweede zoon van een priester.
Oh ja.
Daar loop je niet mee te koop, afijn. Maar het is een publiek geheim, dat houden we even geheim.
Ja, fijn.
Want in Rotterdam,
weet, weet iedereen
in Rotterdam maar... vinden ze dat niet leuk.
Nee.
En het tweede geheim is dat ja, hij het masterplan van de Goudse Glazen in wezen gemaakt heeft. Ja. En dat is een vrij unieke ontdekking.
Je bent een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Nou vind ik het beeld mooi. De korsen die door die verstilde, prachtige, oude, middeleeuwse kerk loopt. En die ook kijkt naar de, ja, een van de modernste kerken ter wereld. Want dat is de Crystal Cathedral. Waarom Hour of Power?
Wat mij boeit is de manier waarop zij het evangelie presenteren. Dat ze een feest ervan maken. En wat is er niet heerlijker als God samen lovende prijzen. En de manier waarop dat gedaan wordt, afwisselend met interviewers. Iemand die de gave heeft om te musiceren, die krijgt de kans. Wat hele koren, hele orkesten spelen. Ik denk, hoe krijg je het voor elkaar? Geweldig. En wat een uitstraling naar de wereld toe. Van hoeveel mensen zien het niet per zondag over de hele wereld. Nou, ik vind het een geweldig visitekaartje wat daar wordt neergelegd. Dat is geweldig.
Ja.
Ja. Dan kunnen wij een voorbeeld te nemen, ook in die Sint-Jan, om het nog feestelijker te maken. Een loofhut, hè, zijn wij in kerk. Ja. Dat we de Heer loven en prijzen, dat we gewoon echt ook blij zijn met, ja, gewoon met hem en alles wat hij gegeven heeft. Nou, dat wordt daar getoond. Dus ik vind het een geweldige voorbeeldfunctie.
Ja. Ja. Je straalt er helemaal bij.
Ja, want als je ernaar kijkt, de laatste tijd komen ook de beste predikers, zoals iedereen is de beste trouwens bij meneer Schule. Maar... ja, die past die jongen die zonder armen en benen.
Ja, maar die gaat zo meteen spreken. Nou. Nick Vukovic.
Geweldig.
Ja, ja, indrukwekkend. Hè?
Ja. Ja, indrukwekkend. Totaal overgegeven leven. Hè? Ja, het kan niet anders.
Ja.
Hij moet wel. Ja.
Ik vond het erg leuk dat je hier vanmorgen was. Je hoeft nu niet te kosteren natuurlijk. Want dat heb je natuurlijk verdiend door in Hour of Power te komen praten. Hè?
Precies.
Boeiend, die verhalen. Ja. En zeker wel van Erasmus. Ik denk dat dat veel mensen zal verbazen. Nou, je hebt verteld over de gebrandschilderde ramen van de Goudse kerk, de Sint-Jan. Nou, in de Crystal Cathedral zitten ook allemaal ramen.
Eigenlijk wel, hè?
Maar die zijn niet gebrandschilderd. Kijk, hier heb ik... Ja. Er zitten, ik weet niet hoeveel duizend ramen in. Maar weet je wat nou het leuke is? Dan ga ik je ook een nieuwtje vertellen. Californië, een aardbevingsgebied, hè?
Ja.
Wat gebeurt er nou als er een dienst is en die tienduizenden ramen die...
Ik denk dat daar niks gebeurt, dat het goed gaat.
Weet je wat er gebeurt? Al dat glas, dat worden ronde bolletjes als het op de grond komt. Dus niemand kan getroffen worden. Knap, hè?
Dat is heel knap.
Ja. Nou, de Schule liet het ooit een keer aan me zien.
Het is waarschijnlijk ook niet zwaar, ook heel de constructie.
Nee.
Dat is goed over nagedacht.
Oké.
Okay. Nou, ik hoop dat we nog eens een link mogen krijgen.
Hoe?
Tussen de Goudse glazen en deze Crystal Cathedral. Ik bedoel, het is alle twee glas.
Weet je wat ik zeg? Ik zeg tegen dominee Schuller dat ik de beste koster van Nederland heb ontmoet.
Hoe blijf ik nederig?
Ja, ja. Mag ik dit aan je geven?
Ik ben heel erg dankbaar.
Ja.
Fantastisch. Prachtig.
Leuk dat je er was. Wij gaan nu terug naar de Crystal Cathedral voor zometeen. We krijgen eerst nog muziek. Weer een ontroerende ervaring met iemand die al eerder in de cathedral heeft gesproken. We hebben het al verteld. Nick Vukovic, de man zonder armen en benen. En wat een verhaal heeft hij.
this morning, we're very, very, very blessed. Nick Vujicic, remember him? The guy from Australia, born without arms, born without legs, no limbs, but he said, I don't have any limits. Amazing guy, one of the world's greatest possibility thinkers. And he's back with us today, and he is going to preach the sermon. Nick, love you.
Thank you. Love you too, Dr. Sheila. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sheila. Good morning. Say GRACE. Have you heard of the acronym for GRACE? I heard this about a year ago. GRACE, God's riches at Christ's expense. I want to talk about the grace of God this morning. And for those of you who do not know me, my name is Nick Vujicic. I'm a president of a nonprofit ministry called Life Without Limbs, based in Southern California, right here in Los Angeles. And it's fantastic just to be able to be used by God, even in my circumstance, showing the strength of God, showing that we can have joy, happiness, and a fulfilling, limitless life because we serve a limitless God. And I'm 26 years old, and for those of you who don't know what happened to me, I was actually born this way. But I thank my mom and dad all the time, and you know what they say? Well, thank God. We couldn't do it without Jesus Christ by our side one day at a time. You know, as I get older, it's interesting as my parents, my dad especially, is opening up to me about details, specific details of even that moment when I was born. There was no medical reason, no warning at all. And I found out that my dad took a lead in holding me. Not at first, but he was the first to hold me. My mom, it took her 4 months to come to terms with it. She didn't breastfeed me. She found it very, very difficult to hold me for 4 months. She held me, but for very short periods. I don't know if I would even go that far if I was my mother, if I was my father. Would I be able to hold my son in that shock, in that insufficiency? My mom and dad were leaders of a church, and my dad's been a lay pastor for 26 years. And even the most faithful servants of God, and even the most greatest faithful men and women of God that we read in the Bible, there are many times where we have a sobering thought of our insufficiency. My father, I have many great memories of him, and he's still alive today, and I thank God that he's alive. But at age 8, I went up to my mom and dad, and my mom actually told me, I forgot this, my mom actually told me at age 8, that Nick, you came crying to me one day, and you were saying you're going to kill yourself. And she asked me, why? Why do you say that? And I said, well, who's going to look after me after you and Dad are gone? And she said, God. And I, you know, 10 years old, I tried to give up in life. I didn't see that hope. I didn't understand the grace of God. For if God has wonderful grace and power, then why does he let me have pain in my life? And you know what happened? One night I was really upset, and my dad came up to me and he said, Nick, I love you and God loves you. And long after I'm gone, God is going to be your father. I have a wonderful heavenly father who loves me so much. And I want to share with you that grace of God. You know, I was speaking at a conference in 2002, one of my first speaking engagements. I was very nervous. My palms were sweaty. My knees were shaking. And I didn't know what to say. I didn't have my palm cards. I couldn't even find my palms. But this wheelchair here, this is my wheelchair to my left. This is my BMW 7 Series. And after preaching, this lady came up and she said, you know, Nick, some people say that I see the love of God in the sky and in creation and mountains. She said, I don't understand that. But I looked at your wheelchair and I understood the grace of God. What a beautiful time for me to be born. I mean, I have wheelchair. I have an iPhone. Man, you know, I've got hands-free phones. You know what I'm saying? We've got a website and Facebook and Twitter and all these things. You know, I love it how we gotta not take things for granted. The grace of God every day. I can't even breathe my next breath without Him. I have life, the greatest gift of all. I have an opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. And I'm not sure if I shared this last time when I was talking about faith a couple months ago, but I was talking to some friends in Texas, Dallas. His name is William Noble. And he said, Nick, there's only going to be two questions when we go to heaven, in his opinion. I said, what's that? He said, God's going to ask me, Nick, do you know me? And second, who'd you bring? And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we have a 96-year-old father here. My grandfather's 93 years old, and both of my grandfathers were preachers, and he's still preaching to his wife. And it's amazing that, you know, life is always an uphill climb. But the higher you climb, the more you see. And when you feel like falling, guess who's standing right by me? That's Jesus Christ, to fulfill the purposes of God. And I want to read from Romans 5, first 8 verses. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Last time I talked about faith. This is what I want to talk about. Verse 2, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. We're going to understand the grace of God. Why does God love me? Because His love. He doesn't even love me as an evangelist because of what I do. He doesn't love me. I can't save anybody. I can't even save my own soul. But I am seeking God's face. You know, when some people talk about, you know, wanting things from God, seek His face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added. Hope does not disappoint. True hope. False hope is anything but in Jesus Christ. You know, for me in my life, grace is to be thankful. Grace is to be able to even read the Word of God. My flesh, Dr. Shuler, he will tell you how many times preachers around the world will get up on Sunday morning and maybe feel there is a concern or there is an emptiness, and we, God, help us to preach. Not even in our own strength can we preach. Not even in our own strength can we read and pray. My flesh doesn't want me to open the Word of God and say, you need to change yourself. You have sin in your life. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to, you know, we want to be comfortable in our life. I like this. I like that. But grace is that we even see who Jesus Christ is. You know, Martha and Mary, who was the one in the kitchen? Who was it? Martha. She was busy doing, and where was Mary? At the feet of Jesus. Wasn't it only that Mary got to see later on at the tomb? It's amazing. I love Jesus. I love God because His grace is sufficient. And I want to thank God that He even said no to my prayer. You know, what a sad day it would have been in heaven if I had enough time to ask God, God, out of all the mistakes I did wrong. When I was 8 years old, I prayed for arms and legs. Is it wrong for me to ask for arms and legs? Can you imagine if God gave me arms and legs at age 8? And that was not what God had intended to do for my life. He wanted me to be the miracle He made me to be. Can you imagine if I said, God, out of all the things I've done wrong, what was the biggest one that stood out? And He said, Nick, I made you without arms and legs. You were perfect just the way that you were. And you asked me for arms and legs. And because I love you, I gave you arms and legs. And He said, Nick, if only if you asked me for my will and not your will, 200,000 more souls would have come to the Lord Jesus Christ and would have been here in heaven. That's grace. It's grace to live. It's grace to die. Because I want to go to heaven. It's grace to learn. It's grace to relearn. How many times have we relearned something? Well, thank God He doesn't give up on us. God will not give up on you. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Maybe you were also caught up in a drug addiction and you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you went to church. But what differed from this other powerful testimony was that you went maybe back to drugs. Well, God still loves you. He's still there. His promises are there. Keep on seeking and you will find Him. I couldn't go through my depression on my own. I can't forget the disappointments in my life that paralyzed me. We serve a limitless God. Not only will He give you grace to get through it, but to achieve all that you can. I want to share with you a story I've never shared before. It's hard when you are based in a Western society-based country to go to Africa or go to Indonesia and see grace. You have pity. You have compassion. For we see how much more we have out here. But I want to share with you an amazing grace story. Indonesian people, I love them. Puji Tuhan means praise God. And I've been to Indonesia 3 times. And one of the things that happen in Indonesia is our DVD that is on our website, lifewithoutlimbs.org, got into the hands of many, and we thank God that these DVDs have been used in prisons and orphanages and churches and so forth. But in Indonesia, we found out that there were 150,000 black marketed copied DVDs. And when the coordinator came up, he said, Nick, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry about the Indonesia people. I said, what's wrong? He said, they black market. They don't understand copyright. Copyright, copyright, right to copy, right to copy. But we thank God. You want to know why? Because only if one soul hears the gospel message, who am I to charge? Who am I to ask anything? Because the gospel was freely given and I freely give. The forgiveness of God was freely received and we freely forgive. I said, don't worry, Pastor Han Han, it's all good. I said, I didn't just say, praise God that night. I said, thank you, God. It's not about always, you know, how I get so excited when I preach. My hands fly everywhere, okay? I just got to make sure that I don't go over time. I want you to understand something. One more thing with prayer. You can have 100 people praying for you, but if your heart's not in your prayers, we can have 100 people praying for your heart and your situation. And we pray, you know what the biggest prayer is? That you get on your knees. That is where power is. That is where grace is. That I, as a brother in Christ, would pray for you. And that you would find the grace of God to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness and renewing of mind. Back to Indonesia. I was speaking one Sunday 7 times. 3 services in the morning. 4 services at night. I was very tired. For lunch, we went into a Chinese restaurant. And as we walked in, you know, when my caregivers, they carry me in, we look like Siamese twins. Because we carry torso to torso, and so one head's facing this way, and another head's facing that way. It was so funny. So every time someone carries me, I mean, you know, we went into this restaurant, the restaurant stops, the people eating, the waitresses, they all stop. They're looking at me, because I'm so good looking, I'm joking. They stop, and we go to our VIP table, and it's a long conference table, about 12 of us. And I wasn't too sure, you know, who was who. And we sat down and this lady came, this maybe, she was at that time 21 years old. She came up to the door and she's crying. And I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And she's speaking Indonesian. And, you know, I want translation. You know, I don't have the gift of interpretation. You know, I want to know what is she saying. And they don't tell me because they're all encaptured by what she's saying. And they start crying. I said, hello, can someone just fill me in here? So they tell me her story. And she was living in a house with her parents. I don't know how big to, I don't have hands to show you, but as big as this little platform, it's about, I don't know, 40 feet by 20 feet, okay? Living in a house with her family who go out to the rubbish dumps, the trash dumps, to pick up plastic. That's how they made their money to survive. A dollar a day, this family survived. The greatest gift of God that she ever had, that she felt was so dear to her, was her family and her mother and father separated. She said, God, I can't do this. I think it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms, no legs. She said, God, you've taken away the most dear thing. I can't do this. She said, that's it. This is my last time I'm going to church. And next Tuesday, she planned down ahead, she's going to give up. She's going to run away and hide herself and give up. She went to church on Sunday. She said, God, I give up on you. The pastor showed a black marketed DVD of Life Without Limbs, all the way in Indonesian. She said, if God had a plan for Nick, if Nick didn't give up on God, then I'm not going to give up on God. She started praying for a job. 6 months later, God gave her a job where, in the Chinese restaurant where I just happened to have lunch. And she said, Nick, I want to go to Bible college, but it's so hard to go to Bible college. She shared a little bit about myself. She said, I live in this Chinese restaurant and I sleep on the concrete floor. I said, you sleep on that floor? She said, yes. I saw bugs and everything. I can't imagine. She left the room and I said, come back after we eat. And I'm so disturbed. Like, God, how can I help this woman? Please help me to help her. And I'm so disturbed about her sleeping on the concrete floor and she's away from her family. And this guy to my right, he says, Nick, do you know how hard it is to go into a Bible college? I said, no. He said, there's only one Bible college in the whole region and you have to pay this and this amount of money. And if you have the money, there's a 12-month waiting list for an entrance exam. And if you sit the entrance exam, only 1% of the people actually get in. He starts smiling and said, Nick, you're very disturbed that she sleeps on the concrete floor. I said, yes. He starts smiling and said, what are you smiling at? He said, you don't know who I am. I said, no, I don't know who you are. He said, I'm the pastor of the church that you just spoke at, and we have on-site accommodation. And if you want to put up some money, we'll give her her own condo, her own apartment. I said, oh, how much is it? He told me how much. I said, boom, we'll get it done. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool. She's going to have a home. I can't wait for her to come back. And I'm going to tell her, you're going to get out of this place. It's going to be so cool. And then this guy to my left, he starts crying and he starts smiling. I said, what are you smiling at? He said, Nick, I'm a businessman. I want to pay for the whole thing. I said, no, I want to take it. I want to pay for it. I want to do the whole, I want to even retire her. How much money does she make? And they said, well, probably $1 a day. I said, don't worry about it. I'll cover that. That's okay. I want her to be free into doing what Jesus wants to do. And then a man from the other side of the table, I'm thinking, man, how is she still going to go to Bible college? This man on the other side of the table, he's smiling. And I said, what are you smiling at? He said, Nick, I'm the president of the Bible college.
grace of God is never empty. And if you have a cup and you want to fill the ocean in the cup, you cannot fill the cup with the ocean. But only if the cup is hollow can the ocean pass through the cup. I am an empty vessel of God. May God bless you. May God surround you with His grace through your circumstances to accomplish all that He has, to be thankful, to pray, and to trust. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you touch each and every one of us with your grace and your love. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. No matter what we do, you still love us because we are your children. In the name of Jesus, we ask for healing, chains to be broken, eyes to be open. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. And may God give you peace in your going out, in your coming in your lying down, in your rising up, in your labor, and in your leisure, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which for you there will be no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal light and life and love forevermore. Halleluja.
En dat was Nieke Vujic. Wat een ongelooflijk indrukwekkend verhaal. En toen ik naar hem zat te kijken, toen dacht ik, stel je voor dat ik zonder armen en benen geboren was. Zou ik dan zo kunnen reageren als hij reageert? Dan moet je toch wel een echt diep geloof hebben. En als je zo kunt praten, dan weet je ook dat God realiteit is. Het koor zong daar straks, love divine. Liefde die je verstand te boven gaat. En ik hoop, als je die liefde niet kent, dat je deze uitzending gebruikt om op zoek te gaan. Op zoek te gaan naar Hij die de liefde zelf is. En dat straalt Hij uit door de mensen die Hij gemaakt heeft. En ik hoop ook door jou en ik hoop ook door iedereen die kijkt naar dit programma. Een hele goede zondag toegewenst en graag tot volgende week. En we vinden het heel bijzonder dat zoveel mensen kijken naar Hour of Power. Met ons meeleven, met ons meedenken, met ons meebidden. En daarvoor hartelijk dank. Een goede zondag en graag tot volgende week.